gets to you. Because righteousness is something you value that's important to you, so you feel this intense need for it. You know, for me, it's like the longing for a spouse. You know, I long to be clothed with that garment of righteousness. I long to be perfected. I long to be transformed and made in the image of Christ, my Creator. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is Paul, he's seeing the end of his life very near. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I remember those guys out there who say, oh yeah, this is the crown for those that love the doctrine of the rapture. They get a crown of righteousness. You know why he knew there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him? Because he'd already been given righteousness in his life. And he knew there was a crown coming for it. Great reward in heaven. And you know, this is a figurative. Your crown is put for rulership, judgeship. You know, it is the symbol of authority and power. That's what the crown is. I mean, it's like, what? Yeah, you got your mansion up there. You got your big table full of food. Lots of gold and silver, too. I mean, don't be mistaken. Yeah, the city is described as being, you know, paved with gold and all that. That's in the eternity. But, I mean, a lot of that, I mean, God could make the whole world out of gold if he wanted to. And what it means is it's really signifying the preciousness of that city, the beauty of it. The degree to which that is meant to be taken literally, I don't know. And in a sense, you know, what are you going to do with it? The reason it's paved with gold and, or you know, I mean, it's because it's, you know, when you make your streets out of gold, gold isn't worth much anymore. You know? But it's a very, in the carnal sense, in the physical sense, gold is an excellent metal. I mean, if we had more of it, we'd use more of it because it doesn't corrode, it doesn't corrupt. You know, it's a very stable element. You know, those are some of the, you know, it's good as gold. Gold is a fantastic, you know, part of the creation as far as a metal that is durable, yet soft, not easily, doesn't, you know, corrode away as easily as other things. It's lasting. You know, things made of gold last a long time, as opposed to like things made of iron, which rust away in a century or less. So he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course. Course is race. When we talked in the first epistle, you know, the one he that strives for masteries, who competes in the athletic games, you know, he has to strive lawfully according to the boundaries and rules set forth. You can't just cut across the field and cross the finish line and have everybody without having actually run the course. God expects us to run a course. That's why he even created this world, so that we could run some sort of course. He wants us to be exercised in these things. Yeah, it's done by his power, but he wants us to be exercised in it. You gotta understand, it's like, if God, you know, if he wanted to do everything for us in such a way that we wouldn't have to actually perform it, then he could have just made the world, you know, but he could have made the world in such a way that there would just be, we'd already have it, right? But he decided to do it as he has done it. And so we have to run it as he has designated we should run. He's kept the faith. You know, the faith will bring about righteousness. And it's faith in God that delivers righteousness to us in our lives. And God is the righteous. You know, we're going to appear before him as the righteous, not as sinners. We're not going to die in our sins, but we're going to be made like unto his glorious image. So it says, when he appear in 1 John chapter 3, it says, we don't know what we're going to be, but we do know, and we don't know the exact nature of that body and so on and so forth. You know, but we do know that when he appears, you love his appearing, we're going to be like him. We know that when he appears, the dead are going to come out of their tombs, or wherever it is they happen to be dead. And people say, well, what about people who got their ashes scattered on the ocean? That, no matter. You know, God, you know, a soul, in a sense, is like, well, how do you bury a soul or whatever? You know, the God said it, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. A soul isn't necessarily a physical thing, but it is attached to a physical thing. It's almost, to me, it's almost when God brings the memory of someone out of nothing. You know, I mean, when you look at a dead body, it's corrupt, it's gone, it's like there's nothing there. But yet God, from that nothing, pulls forth that person once again to live and raises them from the dead. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. It's funny to me how some people who think the resurrection has already come, like Hymenaeus and Philetus did, will mock the actual doctrine of the resurrection. Well, what about, you know, they have all kinds of doubts and questions and foolish strife and vain babblings. Well, you know, blah, 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 the body's nothing, blah, blah, blah. But God says he's going to raise it up. Let's say I'm just following what the Word teaches, not fables. When you die, you go to heaven. Fable. When you die, you go to hell. I'm going to go to hell when I die. Just like Jesus, when he died, he went to hell. But it's just an unfortunate translation of the word Hades, which means the place under the earth, where the dead are buried. Whether it be in the sea, scattered into the winds, or in a proper grave, or in catacombs, or whatever. The dead are going to come forth at his appearing. Verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Come to me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens unto Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments.